a federal judge in New Orleans, basically blocked the Obama administration's temporary ban on deep water drilling. This was the result of a lawsuit by some small businesses in that area, and he sided with the small businesses, who said that the risks involved that the Obama administration cited in calling this temporary ban certainly do not outweigh the incredible economic impact to the region there of blocking deep water drilling. I mean, they were arguing that it could cost hundreds of thousands of jobs. So what was also unusual, when this judge issued his ruling, he really skewered the Obama administration and the Interior Department because of their report that they had come out with on safety issues after the Deepwater Horizon explosion. He said basically the report lacked analysis and kind of painted the whole drilling industry with a broad brush. And he basically said, look, you haven't really proven that all deep water rigs and some of the others that you covered in this ban are as dangerous as this one was. So until you really prove that, I'm not going to allow you to block deep water drilling.
It struck me as a little bit interesting, a court saying you can't block drilling. Almost an interesting role for the court to play.
Well, sure it is. And it's, now we're all kind of trying to dig into this a little more to see who has the real authority here. The Obama administration says they're going to appeal this ruling to the district, to the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. And then I guess we'll go from there. But in the meantime, we're not quite sure if the deep water drilling is going to start or not. This looks like it's going to be tied up in court for a little longer. And I think, that's kind of the no man's land that we're in right now. I'm not sure exactly how this works legally, but it's certainly, this case from start to finish has provided us with some unusual moments, and certainly this is one of them. When you have a court getting involved in an industry that affects so many people in that region,
and puts the politicians, the governors of that state, who are trying to get that area cleaned up, but they're also, as you said, a lot of jobs, and everyone's looking for jobs right now.
And the governor and the politicians from down there, the senators, the local politicians, were all screaming bloody murder when the Obama team issued this 6-month ban on deep water drilling. They were saying this could cost hundreds of thousands of jobs. It's really going to hurt the economy. It's very interesting to watch the juxtaposition with the local politicians in Louisiana who are, really fighting to try to clean this up and taking the lead in a lot of these, in a lot of the events that you're seeing from the region, from Governor Jindal going on boats and on planes and showing journalists the damage and talking about how horrible it is. But in another breath, he says, look, we need this industry. So it really is a delicate relationship between the political arm there, the oil industry, the fishing industry. They are all intertwined. They all need each other. And that's what you're kind of seeing at work right now.
Meanwhile, speaking of that cleanup, you got to talk to the commander of a Coast Guard cutter that's actually conducting some of the cleanup in a really interesting way. It's almost like a vacuum kind of thing.
It was really neat. We interviewed him when he was on his satellite phone. This was the Coast Guard cutter Oak, and this commander was on a satellite phone on the deck, and either he or one of his aides was operating two cameras, one on the port side, one on the starboard side, which showed how they were doing the skimming, and we could see it at the same time he was talking to me. We were able to get those two simultaneous feeds piped into CNN, and we showed that on the air. And it's just fascinating. They were about 30 miles south of Mobile Bay, Alabama, which is one of the key points, key battlefronts in this, because there's, as we know, there's some oil going ashore in Alabama. And it's just, it's a very sophisticated operation, skimming. It's not just, swooping it up and putting it in a barrel. They have to have a barge next to them to store it and then take it away, and then they have to keep skimming and then do it all over again. So it's not an easy task, and that was really brought out in this segment that we did.
And so it sounds like almost like they're hoovering the ocean. Is that the kind of thing that they're doing?
It really, you have to boil it down in some cases, and that is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Now, they're doing it in different ways. They do the skimming, in which they basically do, it's like a vacuum cleaner, as you mentioned. It's hoovering the ocean. It's sucking it all up, putting it into a container, getting the container away, bringing it back empty, and then doing it all over again. So it's exactly what that is. In other cases, they bring it up and then they burn it off, essentially. and that's another way they get rid of the oil. They also use dispersants down at the bottom and on the way up. So there are all sorts of ways that they're trying to get rid of this stuff. And, of course, not all of it has worked.
Meanwhile, we don't really fully know how much oil is actually coming out of that. I mean, the numbers seem to change every single week.
Yeah, we did some reporting on this a couple of days ago, and it was interesting because, in this really some tension here between Congress and BP over this whole thing and how forthcoming BP has been or has not been in some cases. Congressman Ed Markey released an internal BP document a couple of days ago saying that evidence that BP has not been forthcoming about how much was leaking out. Essentially, Markey and his aides say that when BP officials met with them in early May behind closed doors, they said the worst-case scenario for leakage would be about 60,000 barrels a day. We now know that that's what they're saying is coming out now, that Markey has a document saying that this is from BP officials saying that if they remove the blowout preventer and if they remove the wellhead, the worst-case scenario could be as high as 100,000 barrels a day. BP officials told us that's irrelevant. We never had any intention of removing the wellhead or the blowout preventer, and so it's irrelevant. But Markey's point is, look, they've been lowballing this the whole time. They've not been forthcoming. And Markey makes another interesting point, and he's right. BP could have a financial reason for lowballing the figures because they're going to get fined for every barrel of oil that gushes out. We looked this up. That there's a kind of a modification to the Clean Water Act from the EPA, which says if they're found not grossly negligent for a spill, they get fined $1,100 per barrel that gushes out. If they're found grossly negligent, they get fined $4,300 per barrel that gushes out. Now you're talking, you're probably getting into the hundreds of millions, if not the billions of dollars there. So, there could be a financial incentive for lowballing some oil flow figures.
It was interesting because I was actually talking to some folks at the Energy Department, and there's a number of Energy Department teams that are also very focused on coming up with a metric for how exactly they measure how much oil is coming out, because they've never measured this at this depth before. It's brand new, so they're trying to come up with a way of looking at it. In fact, Secretary Chu is actually involved in it.
Yes, and then they are coming up with new ways to do this, and hopefully they'll get something that's accurate, because frankly, not much has been. They've got this flow rate technical group, and these are some of the best minds in petroleum science, bandying about figures and arguing among themselves as to how much they think is coming out. I mean, it's certainly not a dysfunctional argument. It's just a scientific debate, and it does speak to the fact that it is very, very difficult to see and to calculate just how much is coming out. We look at these live feeds all the time of this of the oil gushing out of the wellhead, and it's coming out at an incredibly rapid rate. I think it's almost impossible to tell.
Yeah. And some of the ways that they're doing is just looking at satellite images and essentially trying to make an estimate how much space is covered and therefore trying to predict that way. And that doesn't take into account what may be below the surface that you can't see. That's right.
The plumes of oil below the surface, that's another big debate, if they're there and how big they are. So it's, we may not know the actual volume of this thing for years.
I'm guessing we're going to touch on this next week because this story just doesn't seem to be going away.
Oh, yeah. I think, what's interesting, Chris, and I think I've said this to you before, every time we think, we're moving on to other stories, something happens. I mean, just today, they've had to take off the containment cap because a remotely operated vehicle beneath the surface bumped into a vent and shut the vent, and they were worried about some hydrates gathering on the containment cap, so they've got to take it off and take a look at it. And while they do that, the oil is gushing almost freely now into the Gulf for at least the next probably couple of hours. So every time we think that things are quieting down with this, they flare up again.